Welcome to the Gridiron Icon Podcast, where we visit with legends of the game.
Touchdown.
Including players and coaches from the NFL, college football, and beyond. And now, fresh off the end of the bench, Stacey Bauman and NFL legend Preston Dennard.
Let's go!
All right, welcome into Gridiron Icon, the podcast. And today is a very special day. We have a very special guest this week. I am joined, of course, by my better half, The Voice, as I have learned today, the iconic Preston Dennard. How are you, my friend?
My friend, I am wonderful.
Are you ready for this one? Are you ready for this episode?
You know,
this one feels special.
I might know a little bit about this guest, so
okay.
Sure, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay, folks. Well, I'll tell you what, here it comes, the very uncomfortable preamble and introduction for an iconic guest in his own right. We are going to talk wide receivers and also a lot of versatility. But what makes this special is we're keeping it in the family this week at Gridiron Icon. Our guest was a multi-sport star in both football and basketball. I've also come to learn he played a little soccer and baseball, named All-City and All-State for football in 1996 and 97 at Jabola High School in Albuquerque, New Mexico, was a USA Today honorable mention in 1997. He was the Scout Team Player of the Year as a true freshman at the University of Nevada, after moving on to Phoenix College, where he played wide receiver and punted, talk about versatility, and was named the team's offensive MVP. He then moved on to Arizona State, became a Sun Devil, played in the Aloha Bowl, where he scored a touchdown. But throw it all out the door, folks. Most importantly, he is family. We are welcoming in the great Ryan Dennard.
Good evening.
Hey, this is great. I'm hanging out with the Dennard guys.
Yes.
Couldn't be a better evening for that. And Ryan, obviously I've heard a lot about you, and it was time to bring you onto the show and give myself and my partner in crime there, your father, an opportunity to grill you in front of the millions of people that listen to this show.
Yeah, I've been running from this for a while, but I'm ready. He got me
yes,
in for nine, so I have to. I'm ready. Let's go.
Well, this just feels much more special and different than just any other guest. So what we'd like to do is start at the beginning, and I'm guessing my co-host may have some insights on this. Take us back, Ryan. You're a child playing, the son of someone that I looked up to and one of my favorite players, Preston Dennard. You're a kid. Give us some insight into what that's like, how you got started in sports, how dad supported you, and we will take it from there.
All right. So let's take it from there with a different perspective. So my POV is my dad goes to work every day and we get to go see him at his job. And then after his job, I can't see him because there's a bunch of people in my way kind of yelling at him and flashing all these bright lights at him. And there's music and they're screaming and yelling stuff at him. And I'm like, why are they in his face like that? Get out. This is my daddy. So that, until I understood what was actually going on, that was my early experience with him. But then once I realized that it was all out of admiration and they were actually fans and they were appreciative of what his performance, what he did, what he represented for the team and for the community, that's when I really took a liking to what he was doing and intrigued me into finding out more about what it was he did. Then I found contact, and then I was like, I think I'm going to stop it for a little bit.
In straight seriousness, that is a perspective we don't get on this show. Like, we don't talk to the child of a professional athlete. And, I mean, you're just this little guy. You're the oldest of the Dennards, right?
Yeah.
So you're the firstborn, myself, a firstborn as well. That's a unique perspective. You're the first one experiencing it. Here's dad. What? Why are these people all up in my dad's grill? And why? What is it? What was that like emotionally for you? And then as you just became a little guy playing sports too, did it kind of make it a different experience?
It was in the beginning. Like I said, before I even understand, again, this is really young, you know, toddler days. So I didn't really kind of grasp the sense of it. But I mean, as I got to experience it and appreciate it, understand what he was doing, and then I got into the sport, then it was all about, okay, I am now the son of professional football player Preston Dennard. So now it was, how do I become Ryan Dennard, you know, athlete, as opposed to son of. So growing up, as I became to be like my dad, I was like, okay, I'm like my dad. Now I want to be me. And so now how do I go to be me so that I can show people that I'm just as good as him, or I can be just like him? And so that became the perspective from there, or the journey was, how do I become as good as my father to be able to compete like my father does in a sport that I grew to love just like he does? And then once I felt I was mentally at that point to where I can use that as a goal and drive towards that goal, and I felt like I was making headway, making progress, then my own identity came into count. And then I kind of wanted to address that and become my own person within the sport, honoring my father's journey as well, while paving my own way.
That's incredible.
And you know, Stacey, the journey always started. I've got five boys, in which each one of them, the journey started with soccer. And with Ryan and the other two boys, it was indoor soccer. And this all started when they were young boys and I was in Buffalo. So that is the first introduction. Then they moved outside. We moved back to California for the off season. They got an outdoor, and everybody found out, boy, my boys can play some soccer. And Ryan had a Bigfoot. But take us through that little young journey, trying different sports, and why you didn't play football until your eighth grade year.
There was a lot of hurdles getting to that point in the eighth grade year, but I wanted to try a bunch of sports due to the fact that I had a lot of interest. I've always had a wide range of interests. I wanted to try different things all the time, and I always wanted to experience just different things, different aspects, just the fact that I was out there being athletic, you know, being able to exert energy and play and compete. And for the longest, I always was dabbing into playing football growing up. But one thing that I had to get over was my mother's permission. And so for the longest, that was the biggest. She did not want her baby to get hurt. She saw what was happening to her husband every week, and she didn't like that experience. You know, so she really had that, she was kind of hesitant on really giving me the green light until my eighth grade year, and we were able to try it once. But again, growing up back with soccer and baseball, I really wanted to get in there and to try different things again, and not having that avenue to be able to play football, I was able to experience it through baseball and soccer. And so trying out, I went from defense playing fullback to, I think I was striker. Then I settled in at goalie, I think, for my last few years as I think my middle school years. Was that right, Dad?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I think before that was baseball, correct? Yeah. So Little League baseball, I think I went from T-ball up to coach pitch. That's what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
And I never transitioned to what do they call it? Fast pitch. I think they called it. Was it term? Yeah. So I never graduated to fast pitch. I always wanted to play with my friends at coach pitch for a while. So as I got older, I transitioned from T-ball to soccer, and then once eighth grade hit and I was, starting to mature a little bit, and, you know, voice got deeper, felt a little bit tougher, you know, started pressing on a little bit. Let me get out there. Let me try it. And she allowed me finally. So eighth grade, 91, I believe, was the year.
I think it was. Wow. But it was unique because I've always coached my boys, every one of my boys. I coach them in soccer, basketball. Oh, yeah. I coach them in every sport. I just, we all know this. Volunteering is a great thing and a great gesture. Not everybody is trained to do that and trained to handle young athletes the appropriate way. And what I was doing was developing young men and young ladies too, we had, but most of the young men in the direction of where I had been and what was necessary. So a lot of it was getting over the fear. He was also a really good basketball player as a youth. They all played basketball, AAU ball, and so on. But this young man outgrew me. He became 6'4", 6'4 and a half, and just a star. But tell us about when you first decided to play football. I had a rule. Do you remember that rule before playing football?
What was the rule? Oh,
he forgot already. Okay. He's done.
I don't know how they forget because every one of them had to deal with
it. Who'd you say it?
Except for my third son. He was so daggone good that we had to let him play. But I always told my boys, if you want to play, let me know. Give me a year. Let me develop you mentally, emotionally, and physically.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you can play the following year. Ryan did that his seventh grade year. Mm-hmm. Evan, my second son, did that. My third son, Aaron, he was just too good. We couldn't keep him off. And I coached him. He started in the sixth grade. But my son, PJ, started in the eighth grade. And then my last one, knucklehead, not playing football. But anyway, that's what happened with the boys. And so take us through that. It's called Young America Football League here in New Mexico. Take us through, first of all, your first experience in hitting someone.
Oh, man.
I love these stories.
Oh, tell them about that first day and who it was.
Okay, if he ever sees this.
Oh, no.
Big shout out to Mr. Jeff Anaya.
Jeff Anaya,
you are the one that made me the man I am to be able to compete and actually have a professional career because you got me over my fear of contact and hitting and pain.
Wow.
Because once I was able to tackle you, I was able to tackle anyone else. Bigger than me, faster than me, whoever. Because after getting hit by you and being hurt, and crying snot nose and couldn't do it. And I wanted to quit. And then coach made me get up and still back up 10 yards and run after you again, full speed and hit you again. And then I finally did it. It was over after that.
Yeah,
I have you to thank for that.
That's
epic. Thank you so much.
Jeff, somewhere Jeff's head is just sweat. This is making his day because we know some of the guys you played with and against, man. We'll get to that. Jeff, shout out.
So, Jeff and I pick any good-hearted movie from back in the day growing up where you had the big bully kid was like big as an ox, you know, and he was he was the one you had to get. Like, if you overcame that challenge, then, you know, movie was over, good guys win, that was it. That's what he represented. He looked huge in those pads. Now, granted, we're in eighth grade, so we're kids.
No, relative. He was big. I mean, he was big.
He might as well have been the Hulk to me. And Coach McIntyre, thank you again.
Mm-hmm.
It's called, you know, Oklahoma drill. But it was, individualized. So we had it. Ours was at a slight angle. And Jeff had the ball. He was running towards me. I had to run at him and do a slight angle tackle head on. And this is my first year in pads, not understanding how to hit, you know, what's the proper way to hit. You know, getting over that fight or flight second to go after him, the erasing that. So it was just raw, fresh emotion. And I went through the entire cycle to get from point A to point Z. I passed C, D, E. I had to go all the way to Z just to get through this. So I hit it. So first time, you know, running up, I'm over here just, you know, whistle blows, patter, patter, bam, boom. Here I am. Here's Jeff. Here I am. Right.
Been there.
Tap the head. Good job. Everything spinning. Bells and whistles. And I'm very quiet. You know, especially now that my bell is rung, I'm extremely quiet. I don't want anyone to know that I'm hurt, that I'm about one pat on the back away from tearing up. I'm, you know, so
that's the lesson.
My cup is running over right now. So draw back to the end of the line. Coach makes me go back to the front of the line, brings Jeff, go again. I wasn't expecting that. That just soul drop, heart drop. I'm not ready for this. So in front of my boys, you know, I can't let them see me like this. Running there, full speed, eyes closed this time. Don't even know where I'm going. I just run until I feel contact. I don't even think I even threw my hands out. I just ran.
I didn't know that.
Knocked over again. I get a snot nose, everything. Just, I think my mouthpiece flew a little bit. Chin strap already buckled.
God, I've been there.
You know, this time. And get up. Just, now I'm like getting a, like I'm upset, but I'm not there yet. Get back over there. Do it again. Okay. Get back on there. Fix it up. Okay. And then, what a whistle. Bam. Done.
Oh, Jeff.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do this. Now, the thing about it that, you know, growing up, you think about it, it's like, oh, I'm glad I was like this. I was tearing up and crying because I couldn't get the job done, not because of anything, but the fact that I didn't look good and I didn't fulfill my purpose for the team. Like, my role was never, because I couldn't do the bare essentials. You can't tackle. That's the fundamentals of football. Yeah. So I was really embarrassed and upset that I was letting my people down. So that motivated me right there. And I think after that, the fourth time, it took four times. Mm-hmm. But that fourth time, I just remember growling and I just, like, you know, remember the NFL, the little sound bites when they're doing the highlights?
You should listen to our theme song to the show. You'll hear
it. That's right. That's right.
So I remember distinctly, like, making that sound to try to get something, just, you know, grill up something. And I made that sound. I just remember wrapping my hands, just consciously doing this. And I, eyes closed again. I just saw feet and I did this and I felt legs and I just held on and wrapped up. And I don't know if I fell over. I don't know if he fell over. I just know we were on the ground and people were patting and happy and all that. So after that, I was like, okay, I did it. This ain't so bad. I can do this.
God, I love this story. After
that, it was over. Yeah, pads was fine after that.
Every overachiever that just heard that story absolutely relates to the second time, the third time. I'm starting to well up. I'm a hot mess. Maybe I'm not cut out for this. Maybe it's back to the chess club. Yeah. Dude, that is a great story. And you just dropped an Oklahoma drill on us. I don't even think they could do that anymore, right?
No, it's outlawed.
I think that's outlawed.
It's outlawed. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was interesting.
Well, you migrated to trying to find a position on the field. You were really good on defense. And to have you and Jeff on the same team was outstanding. But he emerged right away as a wide receiver in the eighth grade. I remember his first touchdown, over-the-shoulder catch, right corner of the end zone, sweet. And I said, he's ready. And what a fun journey it is. So now you play that 1 year, you go to high school, you end up being a 3-year starter after your freshman year. And they had you, did you play like a defensive end on defense? Is that what it was? Or
what didn't
like
I play?
Strong safety. Yeah, that's
they true. Were moving you. You were that guy that we all hated.
So back then they had that, what do they call it? Was it flanker? Yeah,
flanker.
Flanker. Like, so I was a wing flanker.
That's amazing. You got to ask that because the offenses are crazy now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So different.
So I would have been the H back nowadays, I guess, or, you know, in more modern times.
Gotcha.
More like a receiver, fourth receiver. I did a lot. I was off the wing, but yeah. So I handed off the wing in a 2-point stance, just off the tight end. So that was my position there.
Oh.
Wing back. So I started there, and then on the opposite side, I was defensive end. This was as a freshman. And then as I my freshman year, I went through each season. So I finished with every team. I started and ended with the freshman team, and then I moved to JV to finish with their season. And as a defensive end, I think they had me defensive end, linebacker, or safety, outside linebacker or strong safety. And then I went to defensive end, and I played the playoff games as a defensive end for the senior or for the varsity team. In the playoffs. So I graduated through all that. And so after that, I was able to confidently go to my mother and, let me tell you the story before that.
I love mom stories.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a great year, right? Freshman, just killing it, having a great freshman year. I get promoted to JV. Tell mom, that's great. Good job. Thanks. Dad's excited. Yeah, more games. Let's do this. Finish off the JV. I get added on to the varsity. Tell mom, Mom, I'm on varsity. I get to play. No, you are not playing varsity. Absolutely.
Really?
Not. She did not like that at all. She was not.
Wow.
Yes. It took me at least a day or two to convince her to allow me to play in the playoff game. Yes. So never mind. It's, you know, playing varsity as a freshman, excitement. Like, I can't believe it. Like, wow, you know, I'm ready. And my dad's like, we're in the playoffs. Let's keep going. You've been doing great. Mom, no, you're good. You play.
Preston, how does that go with mom? Like, are you like, honey, can we talk for a minute? I mean, that's.
Oh, yeah. We had to talk. We had to talk because this boy had some potential. You know, I always tell the athletes,
love it.
You either got potential or you don't. And not wasting time. But he had all the potential. And it was just a great deal to see him as the oldest really emerge and evolve into the athlete he became. Plus, he had size. And so being a two-sport athlete in high school, just had a very successful career. As you grew, Stacy would love this too, as you grew through high school, you came into your own. But we got a great story, and I want you to tell it, Ryan, but I'm going to set you up on it. So when Ryan was a freshman, Ryan's a self-starter. He's that ideal young man you want in your household as an athlete. Because he would get up. Oh, yeah. He would get up in the morning. He'd go work out. Yeah. He'd go train. He'd go do whatever he needed to do because he always sought excellence. He always wanted to be the best. And I did happen to tell him, I said, we're in New Mexico. So if you're not the best athlete, nobody's coming here.
Let me tell it. All right. So this is what I thought you were going to ask.
I was going to say that too, but you go ahead and tell it.
Yeah. Okay. So this is what it was. So when I first inquired about taking football seriously and wanted to, you know, Dad, I want to follow your footsteps, blah, 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 blah. Like every son of a football player, right? I want to do what you do, Dad. You know, go for the stars. All right. Well, check this out. You're going to do it right now. You're in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and you play 5-4. Was it 4A? I think it was 4A football in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So let me show you this. So he showed me, at the time I had made like all city or it was something, some small accolade. Okay. So he's like, okay, so now you are the best in 4A football in Albuquerque. So you got to be this good. Now you got to be, not only got to be this good, now you have to be as good as the best receiver in the state. Not only got to be the best receiver in the state, you got to be the best receiver in the Southwest region. Not only got to be the best receiver in the Southwest region, you got to be the best receiver in the West Coast. Not only got to be the best receiver in the West Coast, you got to be the best receiver in the country. You know what I'm saying? Not only got to be the best receiver in the country, you got to be the best receiver, period, if you want to make it to the NFL. So it was like, you have to see it for what it is. It's like, listen, you come from a small market. Like, you know, granted, you know, you want to tell your kids and your children that anything's possible, that you can make anything happen with your mind is good. Yes. But that's you and everyone else. You know what I'm saying? You are special and an individual just like everyone else is. So you're no different. Right. So it, with that aspect, that in mindset, I had to know that, OK, I'm great now. But who did what in Philly, in Philadelphia, or who did what in Georgia? What receiver in California or in Texas in those football bred, you know, states, what did they do? Oh, they did twice as much as you did. Okay, let's get back. You know what I mean? Well, that's the way it is. Oh, you know, how fast was your 40? Oh, you was this. Well, how fast did he run? Okay, well, how tall is he? He's 6'5". Oh, let me get back in the lab. You know, like that's how I looked at it. I'm not just good here. I'm okay here and there. That's not good enough. I need to be great here. And then good here, okay here, and then I need to build on that and make everything great as I build my, you know, my repertoire of or my skill set. So that was that's something that he grained in us was.
Here's how he got there. Mm-hmm. It was a frustrating time for me. I thought I had sparked something. I said, okay, fine. Yeah. So he's a freshman. He's going to train and work out, and then he became a sophomore. And he's big time now. And his dad, can you take me to school? I'll need to work out. What time is it? It's 5:30. What? Mm. Nobody's there. Coach is going to be there every day of the week.
Really?
I ended up doing this. Here, man, take the keys. Just come back and get me.
That was the angle. That was the angle all along. Oh, yeah. Give me the car.
The long con.
Man, this is such great insight. So Pops is pushing the envelope. By the way, he does that on the show, too. He tells me to get my act together constantly. But he's pushing you a little bit, and you just got that fire burning in you. You were all state. You're playing multiple sports and multiple things. What happens now when you get to your senior year? Obviously, Mom acquiesced and let you play varsity football at some point. Now comes college.
Yes.
Tell us about that experience, because you went to a couple different campuses. We have to talk about your three touchdowns against San Jose State. Yeah. Okay. There's some stuff to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. I like to backtrack though and focus more on the senior year a little bit.
Oh, please. Absolutely.
I think that'd be important just to share with people, you know, never wonder. Taking that question and applying it to my high school years, I guess my senior year, what that was like. Now, you know, playing two sports, I was playing basketball as well. So I was two sports, Letterman?
Yeah, Letterman.
So for 3 years, so as a sophomore, I was playing varsity for both basketball and football. I held the same passion for both sports. Basketball, I saw basketball, even though football was my primary sport that I want to excel in, believe it or not, I was more recognizable, or I was recognized more for my basketball accolades at the time.
Interesting.
Than I was for football. Okay. I mean, I wasn't tall for a basketball player. I was average, 6'3", 6'4". You know, I mean, I was a four, you know, post at 6'3", 6'4". So you can see, you know, the talent base, we didn't, you know, it wasn't really the in-depth 6'7", 6'8" type, you know, body count. We had the smaller guys. And I was me and Jeff Anaya, believe it or not, playing off of each other, 4 and 5, growing up. But as a two sport athlete, trying to get, we've got a lot to talk about. So So the bright side, I was excelling in sports. I was killing it. What year was the golf tournaments and the basketball games? Was that after?
Oh, that ended up being 95 when we started. So okay. You were in middle high school.
Yeah, so I was making him famous and during his basketball sports exhibition. We're going to talk about that later. Remind me, Stacy.
Okay, you got it. I will not let you forget.
Please, yes, he needs that, especially after his little comment about marriage.
That was off the air, but okay. So,
thank you for bringing that up.
Okay. So going back, so the bright spots, football, sports, everything, I'm doing great. What I was struggling in was the reason why my mother was the way she was about sports, academics. Yeah. You know, I was not being the student to the student athlete as much as I was being the athlete of the student athlete. So I was at the, until I think, well, really college is when, you know, it turned it on. But high school, I mean, easily admitted, I was your typical athlete, the typical stereotypical athlete where football, sports was first. And I just need to get how much I need to get to keep playing ball?
2.25.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'll do that. Well, what I get? A D? What does that mean, though? Can I still play? Okay.
Can I start? Yeah.
And that was my attitude until SAT came out and then Clearinghouse, and I had to get a – what was the score that I had to meet? I had to meet a certain score, a certain criteria to be able to get clear for the scholarship. And I was teetering the line. Whole senior year, all junior year. And it was due to me. And all the passion, all the responsibility, accountability, and discipline I applied to sports, I didn't match it 100% to school. And it showed its head towards the end where I had a scare where I almost wasn't awarded my scholarship due to the fact that I was teetering the line. And one test here, one project here was 1.2 low. And now I'm not taking it seriously, and I could possibly not have a scholarship now taken away just due to the fact that I wasn't taking care of business, even more so to allow myself, you know, a nice, comfortable ride out of senior year. I'm over here trying to make up points and, you know, taking tests and doing extra credit and making sure I get A's on every test, stressing just to make sure that my GPA rises by the time I graduate. And so I did all of that just to graduate with a 2.6. Terrible. So, you know, and now to me, I'm studious, right? Bookworm. I'm putting all kinds of stuff in. I'm studying, doing extra credit here, extra projects. And you would have thought that I had a 4.0 valedictorian, you know, GPA. No, I'm just trying to make sure I don't mess this up, you know? Okay. So by the grace of God and by my mom's, you know, crack whip discipline and, you know, dad's, you know, optimism and passion. And he kept motivating me every day. I got through it. I was able to, you know, get my GPA and graduate on time and you know,
nice.
like nothing happened. So one thing that as far as my dad taught me was the athletic side. But one thing I didn't share was before I started this journey as a high school, my mother and I had a conversation and she stressed the student side. She, you know, she graduated high school at 17, you know, a year early. That's wow. kind of, that's how she was. You know, she, yeah. she's very studious, very smart, and was all about the books. And if I didn't take care of that, nothing else mattered, you know, to her. So between the two of them, I mean, I got, you know, student and athlete. I'm, of course, my dad was a student as well, but I mean, really on her side that she was specialized. That's what she focused on. So I was able to get through it, you know, with her, with her help and my, you know, my dad's motivation. But it was really important to her and stand still the test of time till the day, the importance of being a student first before you're the athlete, you know, as you become that through college. But yeah, I just felt I had to get that out, that shit, moving on to college.
Ryan, I mean, that's fantastic for a young guy listening to the show, young guy or girl listening to the show to hear, yeah, man. Thanks for being vulnerable. Yeah, I was more like your mom. I graduated at 17 too, but I ran a 4.740 at 155 pounds and I couldn't play ball. So I had to do it. But all of that aside, what an incredible, kind of putting you on the spot here, but to have a dad, I mean, as my friend, your dad is very motivational. He keeps me pumped up. He's very inspiring. And your mom, she's like, you're not going to get your lip busted in. You're gonna learn a thing or two. That's a great combo. A lot of kids don't have that.
Oh yes, very fortunate. Very fortunate. Yeah. I mean, and even now, like, you know, after you put the game away, and I, you know, I became Clark Kent, as I put it. and I, you know, I'm a citizen now. You know, living day to day. And I actually had worked a few years at a residential treatment center for teenage, you know, really? Offenders. Yes.
Oh, wow.
So that was an eye opener because you start to hear the stories of the origins and how they got to that point, and you see what they were brought up in. And I don't know. I don't know if dad even remembers if he contested this, but I mean, there were times that I would just call randomly and say, hey, I want to let y'all know that, man, I'm so blessed that y'all were my parents, because I know what it could have been like. So thank you for, and then there would be moments where, like, I remember I did something that if I, as a parent, would have saw, you know, do that, no. But yeah. they had the patience and the know-how to look beyond the action then and see, you know, see the lesson in it and allow me to learn and keep me safe and learn the lesson. And these kids, I mean, they were going through it. And I was just like, my heart goes out to them. I'm like, I understand, you know, you did what you did. I get that. But your life, you know, so saying that is, yeah, I understand. I know what I have, basically what I'm getting at. I know what I brought up in. I know what it could have been. I know what my life could have ended up like. And it, I mean, any, basically my life was full of how, you know, how exciting or how pleasurable can my life be today, as opposed to, you know, how am I going to figure out life? They allowed me to do that early on my years, to where now I can just, my life is considered a how well I want to enjoy it, you know, because good, I know how to go. Yeah. And that was instilled for them. So I, yeah. Blessing. And I reckon.
That's awesome. You know, Stacy, one of the great things that I used sports for was life lessons and challenging my boys to be all they can be if they go out there. And what I told them was, you know, if you're going to play this game that I played, better get serious about it, because it can hurt you. But I took that to a place in competition. It didn't matter what it was. If you're going to play, compete at your highest level. So I'll throw in a little story. Ryan is a junior in high school, and he's playing against this high school here that had two twins, big 6'6" brothers from Highland High School. And they were a pretty good team. But we had a really talented young team. And Ryan, you know, because of his size, he had to battle against these big boys. First half, they took him almost just, I don't even know what cliche I can use, but
woodshed.
Dad, yeah, woodshed. And dad was not happy.
Oh.
Halftime comes. Oh, he knows this. He remembers this. Halftime comes. I go into the lobby where they come through to go to the locker room, and I'm waiting on him to come through the doors. Everybody's coming through, all the teammates, and all of a sudden, here he comes. I grab him, pull him to the side. You remember what I told you?
Oh, boy.
No, all I heard was barking and just pins and needles, man.
I told him.
Well, no, I do remember, but I'm purposely not saying it.
Yeah. Oh,
it was unpleasant.
Yeah, you guys were you'd be demonetized if I told what he said. However, the gist was,
I love it.
Change of draws. and get back out. It's basically okay.
Okay, Preston Dennard has it in him, folks.
Oh yeah, yeah. But he went out there. He went out there and he balled the second half. I just wanted him to grow up and to be able to deal with challenges that appear to be larger than life, and you'll find out you'll bring them into your own fold. And so I use those moments to educate him, to train him in athletics, because we know how valuable athletics are in everyday life. And it changed my life. We know that story. But it was one of the great things. He goes on to have a successful high school career, plays an all-star game. And he ended up playing basketball all-star game and not the football all-star game. We talked about that.
Yeah.
But as he's being recruited, one of the things Ryan talked about earlier was, you know, when I was telling him, hey, there's 6'4 wide receivers in Arizona, California. How many of you think are in Florida? There's about 30 of you in Florida that are going to get scholarships. Forget about them. Let's go. And it was starting to get a little tough because he had heard from a whole bunch of people, but we know those letters. So I go to what used to be the Freedom Bowl, I think it was, in Las Vegas. Las Vegas Bowl. That's what it was, Las Vegas Bowl. Yeah. And they would hold a celebrity golf tournament. I was one of the celebrities. University of Nevada's playing this one year, so it had to be like 97, something like that, 96, 97. And his senior year. And they're playing that December in the middle of his senior year in that bowl game. And Nevada's staying at the hotel that I'm staying at. And they come out, and I happen to see one of the coaches, and I don't know him. I said, Coach, how you doing? He sees my ring. I had my Super Bowl ring on, and we started a little conversation. And I just asked him. I said, hey, Coach, you guys done with your recruiting? You got everything you want? He says, yeah, we're pretty much wrapped up, but, you know, if we could find an athlete, we'll – you know, we take a look at him. I said, well, I don't know how much of an athlete he is, but I may have a young man you may want to look at. And they said, yeah, well, who is he? I said, well, what we have to do to introduce him to you? You got any videotape on him, information on him? I said, well, how about if we send it to you? So I went back. I didn't even tell Ryan. I had him put the package together. We shipped it to University of Nevada. I get the call back, and they said, Preston, the offense and the defense are fighting over your son. We won. And this was late. This is late in the recruiting process. Yeah. And we've been to a couple places, but, you know, really wasn't happy yet. That's how I got to Nevada. Go ahead and tell that journey.
That's amazing.
Can I give the 1A to the story?
Oh, of course you can.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
So let me give you my mindset throughout this whole recruiting process. And because when he was talking about it was getting tough, largely now, again, I've been doing well, been successful. And now we're getting to the recruiting process and we get to the part where now, how do I stack up against everybody in the country? Because now scholarships need to be offered. So, growing up, this is in the early mid 90s. So I'm watching in high school every Saturday morning. Dad, who are my receivers? Who did I watch?
Florida State guys, wasn't it?
That's right.
Oh,
I was watching Peter Warwick. With those were my guys. I tried to emulate myself to look and run and act just like them, because I would just watch them and just try to look like them because they were the best. They were considered.
He was so versatile. Yeah, right. He was so versatile.
You know, and granted, I don't know that they're half my size, quick. You know what I mean? Like that. I'm just like, I'm 6'3". I could do that too. I gotta be nimble. So I'm over here. I'm doing the stance with the hands up. I'm doing like I'm leaning forward like they are. Him, Peter Warwick, E.G. Green was another one I used to watch a lot. Oh my God!
Trying to think of that era. Was Rocket Ishmael in that time period?
He was out that time. Yeah, I think he was
number four. He was a quarterback. Then he went to receiver. Cardinals. Anquan Boldin.
Anquan Boldin.
Oh yeah. Yes. Oh yeah.
So I would watch these guys religiously every Saturday, every chance I got. And so I try to carry that over. So fast forward to senior year, my first letter, sent it to Florida State, send it out there. And I get the introductory response letter, right? I'm on cloud nine. It's like, they know I exist. So, you know, of course, now my ego, I want to go play to a big school. So I'm sent Wisconsin. Anybody that you see on ABC, NBC on Saturday, I'm sending those schools, you know, letters. And I'm getting the introductory responses. But, you know, they're sending me letters, but they're not biting, obviously. But I don't know that. I got a letter. That's all I need. I'm showing everybody. So I'm getting letters. And then now it comes down to, you know, the nitty gritty, like what's going on. I'm getting offers for visits, but it's New Mexico State. It's New Mexico.
It's New Mexico State.
NAU. Granted, now it's like, of course you would go there, free ride. But here's my ego. You know, I want to go to a big school. I'm from a small city. I got a lot to prove. You know, I want to go to a big school where I deserve. I need to be there. Well, doesn't happen. Now the ego gets a little bit, it gets crushed, starts to get chipped and damaged, starting to break away, and reality starts to center that I'm not as good as I thought I was, or people don't feel that I'm as good as I thought I was. So, you know, that now the transition is to get that, to get to reality, and then I'm kind of losing hope of myself. And then this is when Nevada transitions in, and then I realize that I do have some value, and I start looking into University of Nevada and New Mexico and New Mexico State and the smaller schools, just kind of, you know, just kind of check it out. And then I didn't realize how much of a high powered offense Nevada had and how well they were doing, you know, smaller market, of course, but that doesn't matter. It's about the game in the long run, and I can learn. So once I realized that, you know, everything kind of turned around. Continue on. Where do I need to go to from there? Where do you want to try?
This is fantastic. I mean, this is like, we're hanging out in the Denard living room. This is fantastic. I want to ask you a question. Because I say this every show, but I could see a part two coming because when you just offer something unique, I mean, you talked about your parents' influence, and I know that's, you know, dad sitting right here and that's kind of different. And, but you're a firstborn. I'm a firstborn and I didn't have your athletic ability, wish I did, but how have you, I just meeting you, I love how vulnerable and transparent you are. Like you tell the truth. How have you impacted your little brothers with all this stuff? Do you mind me asking you that, Ryan?
Yeah. It was a little bit different growing up. I was not like this. I would really consider your typical introvert, right?
Yeah, I'm an introvert. Yeah, I get that.
I was the guy in the corner in the picture. I'd always be the one on the side in the corner. If you see me at a party, I was in the corner, bobbing my head to the music.
Okay.
And yeah, I was the one that you heard every rumor about, but it never came from me. You know, that was it. So, you know, I get growing that. Up, we had a weird relationship, me and my brothers. Very competitive.
Oh, I get it.
Or favor or competition or what have you. But like we were at odds with each other a lot in very nonverbal way. It was kind of weird. But I think once I came back from college and my brother had became an adult, I came back to visit from Reno after my first year, winter semester. And I saw my brother when I was out, and we haven't talked in, at that time, we hadn't really talked at all for like 2 years, even though I just left, we don't really talk at all. And so I came home, I just saw him out downtown, and we just hugged for like 5 minutes in front of everybody.
It's different.
Two grown men, don't say nothing, just, you know, what's up? Bam, and we just held it for like five minutes probably for a lot of people. But from there, I think it was like just our way of saying like we're adults now. Let's you know, let's talk. Let's get to know each other for real this time.
Yeah,
and, you know, not fight over candy. You know, so
you're not alone, my man. I mean, I have a baby brother, and I ignored him the entire time growing up, and now I can't imagine 5 seconds of my life without him. It's just there's something happens, right? Yeah. You grow up, I guess, right?
It's just you hit a wall, and all of a sudden it's like it never existed. Like there was never that dynamic. Yeah. So mid-20s on 30s till now, our relationship has gotten stronger, both my brothers. But I think as one thing that I instilled, I think that they took from me was the consistency, the integrity and consistency that I went towards my goals. One thing that my brother Evan always mentioned was that when he first came to visit, when I was at ASU, this is before. So I was at Phoenix College, 98. And at the time I was staying with my grandparents. So I, you know, had a room down there. So what I did was I had these flashcards, and they were categorized different colors, but I'll write my goals, what I want, life goals. And went like no matter how ridiculous it was, on my own island up there, you know, car, blah, 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 this kind of car, bam, right there. And I just have them all on my wall. And, I think at one time he came to visit and he saw that, and he said, well, after he saw that, he said his whole life, like his whole, like, I guess his depiction on life or whatever just changed right then and there, you know, because he was like, I didn't really realize that, you know, you had so much passion that you can really, that you really looked to do all these things. Like, you never really talk about it, but you have aspirations. I'm like, yeah, I do. I want to do a lot of myself just because I'm just doing one thing. You know, I got interest. And so after, once he realized that, I think like he opened up to me about what he'd like to do with himself and what he wants to accomplish. And he's an artist at heart. So, yeah, he creates artistic. So he's art, you know, he's sound. That's his thing. He's about sound and rhythm. So he became a producer and he went that way. So he got into music. My other brother, my other brother follows my brother like I follow my dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So he followed him in the music game and all that. Like, I followed my dad in football. So we all kind of, followed each other. And I got to say this, and I admit it, but I think I'm the only one that doesn't have a musical talent like everybody else. Everyone can sing, rap, or play an instrument or do something. I can clap on beat. So
I got the head bob down. Yeah, I've got that head down.
I've got that down since 98. I've had a head bob down. But
It's fascinating to be with a family and just why, like, I see so much. Look, I'm going to say it. It's uncomfortable. I see so much of your dad and you, and then to hear about your brothers and they follow in your dad's musical footsteps and his creative bent that he has. I've always been, as a firstborn, I guess I'm kind of leaning into you on this, that you've got there's this responsibility, and you went on to be a pro athlete, a very, you know, a successful one in the NFL and elsewhere. But you're the firstborn, and your brothers all look at you and go, how do I be like that guy? And I'm fascinated to hear that journey for you. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, I guess I got to talk to them.
So my brothers, they wanted to emulate my success, but not really my journey.
Yeah.
They always found other interests, and like even talking now, like we've kind of grew apart in our visions and path. But we're all both headed in the same direction, essentially. You know, so I think it was, especially my brother Evan, I speak to him a lot because he lives in the same city as me. Yeah. But when we get together, we speak on times like that. And he always mentions the fact that, you know, when it came to watching me do certain things, you know, he always made sure that everyone knew that he was my brother, you know, that we knew each other.
Yeah.
And so when I did something, and he'd go around it and do it too. Like, not necessarily the same thing, but he would accomplish the same accolade in his own way. You know what I'm saying? And as he kept doing that, he found out that he became his own man, his own person, and that he could find success no matter what he was doing outside of football. You know, so that's where his journey led him, and where he found his business or his flashcards and all that, he found his way to put his stamps on his goals, and he achieved it that way too. So for him, it was more or less finding what works for him through what I was doing vicariously through me, and then finding his own path. On my end, my perspective was that I cannot mess up at all. I put pressure on myself. Yes. Yeah. Yep. I always, like, for me, it's my parents looking at me, you know, my brothers, my family's looking at me, and God's looking at me.
Yep.
And the only one that can see me 24/7 is God. And so I can't hide from him. So, you know what I mean? So I went through life knowing that if I'm doing wrong, then somebody's watching me doing wrong. And so, you know what I mean? So I always had the thing on my back where there's a camera on me and someone's watching. How are you representing yourself right now? Are you representing Denars right? If someone was to you right now, you know, what would happen? And growing up, I was so concerned about the image and what I represented going through that discipline, integrity, sticking to what sticking to your path through, especially through the tough times, especially when it seems like it's not working out or it's not going to happen. That's when, more importantly, you need to stick to it and get through it. And so I made it a point to show that more than say it. Like, my actions spoke more, just me being that natural quiet person. And so I believe that the stresses from that allowed me to kind of lead a path of integrity for that him to follow as well.
It's amazing, man. It's amazing. And listen, we're running long. I just pressed in. You
what time is it?
You're the boss, but I want to talk about football, but I think I'm going to skip it this time, if that's okay.
Okay.
I want to ask something interesting, and Dad, don't let me dominate here. I'm just really, really enjoying Ryan here. As an introvert myself, a firstborn myself, and hearing how you're such a driven guy, you got the goals on the wall. I'm embarrassed to admit, mine are to my left off camera right here. You got into the martial arts at one point. And I want to talk football, but I think we're going to have to do it another time because we're keeping you late. We're going beyond. Dad said it was okay, so I'm dead. You know? You got into the martial arts, which can be intense. It's also introverted. It's singular. And I'm curious what Mom thought of that after not wanting to get hurt. I'm curious what Dad thought of that. What got you into the martial arts before we get into our two-minute drill with you?
Man, what was the number one 80s martial arts movie?
I'm a Bruce Lee kid, so... was that like Jean-Claude Van Damme, maybe?
Thank you. Bloodsport.
Okay,
man.
All right.
Bloodsport, okay.
Come on now.
Oh, Bloodsport, right, okay.
Man, with my long legs, those spinning kicks...
Oh, I saw Kareem do this with Bruce Lee. I watched Kareem and Bruce Lee do this. Probably a friend of your dad's.
Well, I wasn't allowed to watch that one just yet. My first introduction to martial arts was Bloodsport.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was on TV. So I was able to watch it. I know, PG. Weird, right?
So was mom and dad a fan of this? You getting into martial arts?
Yes and no. So I have an interesting journey with martial arts. Martial arts was something that was always throughout my career. Not even career, I said my life period. Because it happened before. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the actor Ho Young Pak played Donatello in, I think, 1971 or two. Anyway, he gave me a free lesson. I think it was Kenpo or what have you. And when he saw me, and, you know, because when I saw that and it was like, Donatello's going to teach me free lesson. Man, I was in line. I was, yes, sir, no, sir. I'm going to getting into it, trying to show him everything. So he introduced me. He said, you know what, he told my mom this. And I just remember him saying this. He said, with your son's long legs, he should get into capoeira. So capoeira is the Brazilian art form where it's a martial art that's hidden in dance mainly. And so so it's what the slaves use to kind of to train martial arts and hide it from the slavers. That's kind of like the the general gist. There's a lot more to it than that. But at capoeira is kind of martial art. And plus, me being a black person, I wanted to instill more of that in me. So I was like, oh, there's a martial art that black people, African Americans, Africans know. I want to learn that too. Well, I know it never went that far, but when I started learning that. And looking into it, I got more and more, intrigued by different martial arts. And then seeing the movies, everything's kind of grandiose. So the honor and the respect and the discipline and the accolades and the achievements you get that you see in the movies, I'm like, can you do that for real? Because this is back when you weren't really sure that, someone could really do a death touch. You know, it was back in the rumor time. So as a kid, I'm still thinking that's kind of real. So I started off with Kenpo. I went from Kenpo. I got to like a purple or blue. No. What was it? A blue belt?
Purple. What is a brown?
It was green, black. It was green, brown, and black at that studio. So I was a blue belt. I was three away from black belt or there two away from black belt. So I got there. And then that's when we moved to Albuquerque at the time. So I stopped doing that. Mm-hmm. When we got to Albuquerque, a friend, I don't know if it was a friend or how you knew him, but there was a gentleman who had a son that wanted to learn football. And this father happened to be a master of Tai Chi. So I learned Tai Chi in the summer while his son was learning to play football with my dad. And so they kind of changed services. So during my early years in high school, I was doing Tai Chi. Then from there, my first job at Domino's in high school as a sophomore.
Nice.
And I got introduced to a friend of mine named Aiden. And Aiden was, at the time, him and his brother were competing amateur locally as Muay Thai kickboxers in Albuquerque. And from there, from my sophomore to senior, I would occasionally get into the Muay Thai. And once I saw how Muay Thai was, that was it. I loved it. I stuck to that. It fit my body frame. I wasn't very flexible. And the kicks were, low sweep kicks, So I was able to do those mid-range kicks. I couldn't really do high kicks. So this kind of felt better for me. Plus, with my long frame, I could generate a lot of force with my kicks. So it allowed me to kind of, I don't know, be a little more athletic and kind of build my body up even more. So from sophomore year to senior year, I was practicing doing kickboxing. And then from there, after football, I think once I was done, I'd always did kickboxing as training. But once I was done, I still had that itch because football was taken from me. My career was taken. So I was still competitive. And I was late 20s, early 30s. I still had stuff to do. So Scott Peters, he was my center at ASU. He went on to play as a center for, I think, the Eagles, the Giants, a couple of the teams. Wow. Had a great career. Uh-huh. He opened up a gym. At the time, it was called Fight Ready in Scottsdale, Arizona. And he allowed me to go in there and train. And so at the time, he had jiu-jitsu, boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai, MMA, all different types of coaches all came to this one location and able to bring their clients and train there. So we had just a great multitude of different arts and disciplines there to be able to work out. So I wanted to do MMA so I could stay in shape, keep that competitive edge, but just to stay in shape. I didn't want to compete.
Yeah.
A month later, I'm in my first fight. So what happened was I went to Muay Thai. First 3 days, I went from the beginner class to the advanced class in 3 days. I had to test. I tested out. I got my shorts, and then I went to the advanced class so I could train the fighters for their fights. So I would spar them. And so sparring them got me even more advanced in my little technique to the point where they tricked me into competing in the tournament, in the Bad Blood tournament. So I'm going there. I'm like, okay, I'll do this for a couple of days. Cool. Hey, why don't you come help us spar after a session? Just help our guys get ready. And so I'm getting them ready, getting beat up, bam, bam, like, oh, you guys are fast. Half the size are whooping my butt. Legs are tore up. I'm just like a 6'3", just kicking pole. And then I think the first Bad Blood tournament comes up. He's like, why don't you go ahead and just give it a shot? And I don't know. And then here I was a week later, start making sure I'm ready, sparring two people a night, every night to get in shape for this fight. And then I don't remember what year that was, but I remember telling him, and he was just over the moon about it. He thought it was the silliest thing, but he was like, hey, this is you. Go for it. And I know you had fun. You tell me, ask me, but cool. I must say I am undefeated. I can say that about my career.
I was going to bring it up.
Yeah, and I got to add to that, too. That first fight, I went to see him, and I think it was Gila River, was it out there at that casino? No,
the first fight was Wild Horse Pass.
Yeah, Wild Horse Pass. So anyway, I get there, Stace, and he's getting ready to walk up on stage and everything. And I said, hey, he walks by me because he's got to walk up there, right? And I said, hey, I didn't come here to see my son get knocked out.
Wow.
I said, because no it'll be the, I said, it's the last time I'll ever come see you. And he got up there. And in that first, I don't know if it was the first, I think it was the first, I guess you call it a round, first round. Yeah. And he sort of did a swing or something and kind of lost his balance a little bit. And the guy tried to swing, missed him.
Oh, yeah.
But Ryan ended up slipping and falling. Yeah. And I went, oh, my God. I start turning around to the doors. And all of a sudden, he gets up. He goes out and knocks the guy out. I said, okay. I'm good.
Wow.
It's slippery. Wow. It don't tell you how slippery it is on that mat, man. Oh, God.
Yeah,
oh,
you're barefoot, right? You're barefoot. You're just like in, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, my feet, I got athletes. I'm all callous. So, I'm slipping all over. But I have no grip whatsoever in my feet. So I tried to throw a high kick, which I'm able to do, but my feet didn't hold up. So I slipped and, it was bad.
Oh, my God. Ryan, this has been a pleasure, and we are going to do part two because we need to hear about your football career and how that impacted you. But we are going to move into the Preston Denard 2 minute drill, and this is where it gets fun. So sit back, take a deep breath, and over to Mr. Number 88.
All right, thank you, my friend. You see, I had to put my glasses on so I could really
see. I saw
that.
Got serious.
Okay, all right, son, you ready? All right, you know about the 2 minute drill. So it's either or, quick witted response. We just want to hear what's coming from you. grass.
Hold on, hold on. We got a defensive change here. Who's that safety in the back?
Who safety in the back? In the back of
you.
Oh, you're talking about me? Or?
Oh,
I see my brother back there trying to watch the.
You sneak into studio there? Okay.
I don't see him now.
It's wild times at the Denard abode. It's wild times. Yeah.
All right. Okay, 2 minute drill. Okay. Here we go. Grass or turf?
Grass. Come on.
All right. Here's a good one. Indoor or outdoor state?
Ooh. Oh, that was fast.
And a 7-year Arena League career. And
I know.
Okay. I like
an Ironman. An Ironman winner.
I know what Arena League did to my knees.
Ooh. Well, I know. Oh.
Next show,
because there's a good one I got to tell on that. Part two. All right. Enchiladas, being from New Mexico, or dad's pancakes?
Okay.
Mom's green chili enchiladas and Papa's pancakes.
Oh, that's my dad. Grandpa.
First
part. Well, that's where I learned it from. So, okay.
That's how to play the game.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Okay. Your favorite movie?
Don't do this to me. Shaka Zulu.
Shaka Zulu. Okay. Do you know that one, Stace?
Yeah, that's a classic.
I thought he was
going to say Bloodsport or, Enter the Dragon or something, but he drops Shaka Zulu. God, you're right. Well-rounded in that house. Okay.
Okay. I like it. Okay. Here's one you got to think about. The most underrated teammate at any level, whether it was Yaffle, youth, all the way up to the pros, the most underrated teammate you thought never got credit.
Jeff Ayala comes to mind.
Jeff and I. Yeah.
Jeff and I comes to mind.
Yeah, he gets credit. Look, first name jumps into mind, Justin Taplin, Sia Berlin at Arena. Ashawante Bryant. They jump out right away. Pros. Freaking LaDainian Tomlinson, he didn't get credit when I was there at all. Not the way he does now, but then when I was there, like he wasn't getting the shout out.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. And at the time was Drew Brees.
Okay.
Okay. Agree with that.
With the Chargers. Got it.
Yeah. Chargers. Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're gonna talk about that because my buddy James Lofton, Coach Ryan.
Bobby Wagner.
Bob. Oh yeah. Okay.
Really.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Oh yeah, he was an outstanding athlete in high school and in college, and I think he got drafted by the Arizona Cardinals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nevada. Trevor Inslee.
Okay, Trevor Inslee.
I
remember.
I love
too.
This man. Shout out all to teammates.
Your greatest football achievement.
Parameters.
The what?
Parameters. What are parameters? Anything.
Nope.
Oh.
Where it just can't be X-rated, but you know.
Yeah. There you go.
I was keeping it here.
I don't want to hear about a bus and cheerleaders, none of that.
Okay. And the last one. Okay.
Yeah, no, this performance created that. But 2007 Arena against the Arizona Rattlers, Utah Blazers, 2007.
Okay.
All Iron Man. Teaser
all
for next
Iron
show,
Man.
All Iron Man.
All Iron Man of the week, 7 touchdowns. I don't know how many catches.
Damn.
But I literally played every down that game. Special teams, offense and defense, every down. Wow. No, I came out once. I cramped. I got a cramp after one of my
touchdowns. Of course. All right, the last one. Who plays you in a movie about your life?
Okay, so... Probably not now, so please don't do this. But The Rock and Morris Chestnut, where people say I favor them, Aegis Elba, I favor them a lot. So I would say one of them three.
Awesome choice. I might add, every girl I dated when I was single was in love with Idris Elba and Morris Chestnut. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And Epps, too.
Omar
Epps. I was like, oh my God, I can't compete.
That was probably the one case where we all looked alike, fit me perfect. I love it.
It's a good comp. Okay, one final question, and then we'll wrap it up this week on Gridiron Icon. And keep it above board. Doesn't know it's coming. Give us one thing about your dad that we don't know. In a good way. A good thing. We're not looking for TMZ stuff. No TMZ stuff. What is something about your dad that nobody knows that we should know?
All right, Bill Cosby level, 7 o'clock. This man knows how to eat some ice cream.
Oh, he's an ice cream lover.
Hey, I had you in the first half of that, didn't I?
I was getting a little worried there.
Yeah, I had you in the first half. Yeah.
He likes ice cream? This really?
Man, I don't do it that much anymore.
It doesn't matter what room we're in that house. If he's eating ice cream, you will know about it.
Oh, it's that exciting. He's that excited about it.
Every scoop of that ice cream, every morsel.
Wow. There you go, folks. We come with the real stuff here at Gridiron Icon. Welcome
if you
in.
Eat ice cream, you want it after you hear him eating ice cream. Like that.
All right, Bean. I wasn't going to throw that nickname out, but okay.
Hey, don't be doing that.
Oh, teaser.
I'll all out. I'll put it all out there.
Part two.
Teaser for part two is loaded. It's loaded. Yeah. I cannot tell what a pleasure it's been to hang out with the Dinards tonight. Thank you guys both so much. Ryan, long overdue. You're coming back for part two, and the pressure is real because I'll just have your dad chase you. So,
You know where I live now, so I'll be in.
He knows where you live. That's right. And I'm already thinking we need to have mom on at some point, but we'll get there. We'll get there. If we can talk her into it. Oh, okay. Okay. Love it. Well, what a pleasure tonight with the Dinards. For those listening in, follow us. You'll see this in all its glory on YouTube and all the major podcast hosts and networks. Again, to the iconic Ryan Dinard. Part two is coming with all sorts of teasers. We will see you next week. Thanks again for myself and Preston. We will see you soon.